Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too, whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast. Podcast. I'm very happy to be here with Coach Santi.
Hello.
Our multi-talented videographer slash editor slash pickleball instructor slash fearless leader.
Hello.
I want to talk about constraints today.
Constraints. All right.
So constraints in regards to, I like to equate all these to tennis and business because we're doing both. We're running a business, but we're also, you know, in our business is teaching tennis and teaching pickle. So the best way to develop business-wise and tennis-wise is to write down all the constraints. Usually, you go through all the constraints that you're involved in. So be it tennis, be it strokes, be it this, be it that. But usually, if you find yourself hitting a plateau, it's not many other things than one constraint. Everybody gets wrapped up tennis-wise. I need to work on this, pickleball, this. Really, it's usually just kind of one constraint. So if you took it from a business factor and say you're making $100 a week, or let's make it $100. Let's make it $500 a week.
Okay.
And you can't seem to get any more customers. It's probably usually just one thing that's not allowing you to do that. Okay. So usually the one thing, it's pretty simple, is say I have a customer base of 10, 20 people, and I call 10 new people each time. And out of that, I get two clients.
Okay.
So I get two new clients a week, right?
20%.
20%, that's pretty good. Let's even say one. Let's say it's 10%.
Okay.
So if I look at it, my biggest constraint is what there, Santi? What do you think? So I got 20 clients.
Yeah.
I call 10 new ones each week, and I get one.
Yeah.
And I'm stuck at my $500 number.
You can't call more people?
Simple constraint. Do more. Just call more.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's a very simple constraint,
call
but
like
people don't get
people.
It. People are like, I can't. Well, maybe I'm not selling them right, or maybe I'm not. Just call 40 people, and you'll get what? If you get 10 out of one, you get four people, right?
Yeah.
So people have problems with their game to hit 100 more forehands a week. It's really what it is. Look at the numbers. Hit 300 forehands. So if you felt like, all right, I'm getting 4 out of 10 forehands in, you probably are just not hitting enough forehands to practice with. Now, there's a little caveat there, right? You cannot call 10 clients with the wrong script. You're not going to sell them batteries when you're trying to sell tennis lessons or something. So you obviously have to know what you're doing, but the action will teach you. So if you call 40 people, it's going to solve a lot of problems more than you calling 20 because you'll get more answers.
Right.
So if you call 40 people and then all of a sudden on the 35th, you go, wow, I said this. I should have said that. And I said this. And you write those things down, you'll have a great script. So with the forehand, you get a good, you need a good coach, right? But after you do that, you'll have problems without that coach. You'll need to problem solve, and you need to go, wow, I hit 100 forehands. But then I hit 200, and I realize this is what I'm doing. There's a very fine balance between practice makes perfect and perfect practice. I'm going to contradict myself a little bit, but you still need to hit more balls. You still need to, because you could practice well and hit 10 balls.
Right.
But you should hit 100 of them. You should hit 200 of them. You should hit 300 of them. So if you're looking at your game, don't get overcomplicated by it. Look at the one, and you'll have a list, but find the biggest constraint that is keeping you from going from, again, say $500 a week to $10,000 a week to 60% of my forehands in to it being 80%, and then I hit it at 95 miles an hour. I hit it, I go to 75 to 95. Really, it's probably just repetition, more. because then it's like a flywheel. When you solve problems, more problems develop, right?
Yeah.
Because you solve that problem, then another problem happens. So you'll get more results because you're hitting more. Then all of a sudden you'll come up to another plateau. So you're hitting more, your forehand gets better, and then all of a sudden you hit another constraint.
Right.
Now the person is, say you're playing, you hit 7 out of 10 forehands, and now they're not giving you any more forehands, you're not being able to hit them, and you got to hit more backhands. So my constraint is people are exposing my weakness. Okay. So what do I got to do there? So maybe I have to work on my footwork to be able to hit more forehands. Work on hitting 20% more backhands during my practice. You will get into the next constraint because you'll start beating certain people. Then you'll go to another level, and then you'll hit another plateau because you'll hit better people, and that'll be another constraint. But try, when you're in your development, to hone in on one constraint.
Right.
Don't be the master of all these different things. You're the master of nothing then. You want to be the master of one thing. When I do something, I've been doing lessons more recently, and we're just spending 4 weeks on the forehand.
Yeah.
Boom. All forehands. We're not touching anything else. And we're spending 4 weeks on the serve.
Yeah.
You try to touch everything and make it like a buffet of a lesson. And you don't really hone in on the real issue.
Right.
The real issue could be, all right, we're going to do 45 minutes of footwork because your footwork is terrible.
Right.
So really, it's very similar to the 80-20 principle. Hone in on one to two things. I would say one, and you're going to break through that constraint and then hit another one and find the one thing and then just do more of it and do more of it and do more of it and do more of it, do more of it.
Okay.
It's a big key. Have you ever found in your experience, looking back now, connecting the dots, have you ever been better at something and realized it was just one change? Santi?
Yeah, definitely. Nothing comes to my mind right away. For me, I really like inside-out forehands. It's like my favorite shot. So I'll try to run around it more just to hit that shot. And I guess as I'm training for that shot, maybe throughout, you know, high school, maybe I started running around it more and I started hitting it more. And then people are just – also, maybe because I'm a lefty, maybe the ball comes to that side more.
Yep.
Because if it's a righty hitting with a righty, they're trying to hit to the – yeah. So it could be that I'm trying to run around it, try to get that forehand. So I guess maybe I focus a lot on that.
Yep.
And it's probably why my forehand's better than my backhand.
Yep.
And even my backhand, like, I didn't learn the proper grip. So I have, like – I use my forehand grip for my backhand, and I put my other hand behind it, and I hit it that way. But I learned to adapt to that, and it still works. It hits the same. It hits a little flatter than normal, but I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good example.
Yeah. It is.
I guess a constraint for me, I could look at it two ways, business-wise. My biggest constraint is usually thinking I should be doing every job, and once you start to realize the one constraint is me, and I should hire more people, the business always does better.
Okay.
It always does better because, first of all, I can't do every job. Second of all, I can't do them all well, and there's just no time. So my constraint was me, right? Sometimes it's just in the business is saying, all right, every time I decide to hire more people, it always gets better.
Okay.
And doesn't mean that everybody's a perfect hire. It just means that when you make the decision to say we're going to hire and grow,
right?
Usually it solves the problem. More people start to come because there's more pros available and there's more people communicating with them. Other constraint tennis-wise, when I used to play, I used to serve and volley a lot, so you get really honed in on one thing, and it was my constraint, my mental constraint of saying, I'm just going to play this way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't really need to do that. Sometimes you don't have to play the way you feel comfortable playing all the time. You don't have to say, I'm serving volleying every point.
Right.
And I can say, well, why am I going to do this every time? And I used to do that because I grew up, you know, the Australian guys. It was all serve and volley, Patrick Rafter and all those guys. But when I realized I didn't have to do it every time, it was and it actually made me more successful because it made the serve and volley more It made it more effective because I didn't do it every
time.
It's
a specialized weapon.
Yeah, I didn't do it every time. Yeah. So something like that. But take your time. Don't think you have to fix five things. Find the one major constraint, and it does happen. Like a tennis building, a facility. What's the constraint? The size, right?
Size,
so you can just pretty simply go, oh, we need to do this, 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 but we don't have any room. So it doesn't matter if you think of all these great ideas, but if you can't put anybody anywhere, if you have a brick and mortar business, what's the point, right? That's all I wanted to do is talk about constraints and how you can succeed. Remember, think of one thing, one thing, one thing.
Go with it.
How are you, Santi?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, yeah. You're doing well? Yeah. So, come on, give me a little, are you excited about this trip to Hawaii?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I started packing my surfboard.
Isn't it 3 weeks away? 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Like 2 weeks-ish. Two and a half, or, yeah, less than two now. But, yeah, the only thing I'm not excited for is, like, we're island hopping a bunch, so it's just more bag fees that I have to pay. But it's okay.
So you're not island hopping,
no,
or you are? Oh, you are.
We go to one island, and then we go to another island, then we go to another island for the wedding, and then
so
I go back.
So is this part of the wedding? The whole wedding is doing this, or you're just doing it?
No, me and my other friend and her fiance are doing it. The people in the wedding is just like a Thursday.
Okay.
So it's just there. And the thing is, we don't get to see the wedding, which is the ceremony is private on the beach. It's just the family doing speaking and all that stuff, and then we're just there for like the venue after, you know, the party part.
So
it's like their wishes, which could be argumentative because we flew.
Just the reception.
We're all
you're
flying
at.
There to watch them get married, but we don't actually physically get to watch them get married.
Don't
so
you
mom,
feel like I'm flying
is,
all the way out there? I don't get to watch the wedding?
Money. Yeah, I don't care as much, but everyone else cares a lot more.
Yeah, wouldn't you?
The mom even is like, why don't you let them watch the wedding?
Yeah, why not?
And then she's like, we want it this way, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, that's cool
they
with me.
They give you a
I
destination wedding that you can't watch?
Yeah, we don't get to watch the beach ceremony, but everything else we'll get to see. So
that's a constraint.
It's a very yeah, exactly. So,
so you go to the reception.
Correct.
Interesting.
Correct.
Well, and some people, listen, if they're local weddings, sometimes you don't go to the church. You don't
right,
go to the
exactly.
wedding. You go to the reception.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah, it's
but
gonna be like,
this is a destination wedding.
It's going to be like five people on the beach.
Are you at the rehearsal dinner? Or is anybody there a rehearsal?
No, there's no.
There's no rehearsal
there's
dinner
no
before?
There's no rehearsal dinner. No, okay. No. There's no.
And is it close to the Terrible Fires? Like how?
I think they moved the venue.
They did.
Was the it was above where the fires were. Okay. Were. And then now it's somewhere else. Oh. But it's on the same island.
It's on the same island. Maui,
it's
right?
It's too hard to
yeah,
get up on Maui.
Yeah.
So we'll
that
see what happens.
Well, that's all awful, obviously. But I hope you enjoy your wedding, my friend. Not yours, but a wedding. Are they going to record the wedding at least?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
That's not my problem.
But
so.
Not my problem.
I told them like I was going to go golfing while they do their ceremony.
That's a good idea.
I was like, so I'm not forced to, because people want to sneak on and watch it.
Why do
I'm
that?
Like, they said they don't want us there, so
what
don't
are
know.
They? Is this Taylor Swift getting married? What is it, the paparazzi?
I don't know.
Trying to sneak on?
Yeah, exactly. So.
All right. Well, that's all. That's all I wanted to talk about. A little constraint. Think about that. Have a great week. The answers in the action, Santi. Keep moving. Keep acting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like the podcast. Please share it with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves, share it.